Last Thursday morning, I went up to the hospital, St. Mary's Hospital, to visit with Brother Charlie Payne. They were going to perform heart surgery Thursday morning at 7 o'clock. So I didn't know whether I'd be permitted to see him or not, but when I arrived at the hospital, they let me go in and speak to him, and he was so happy and alert and glad to see me, and we had a good talk. He said, now, if I can remember some of the things he said, I'm going to have this operation, this surgery, because I have to. I can't stand the pain. I've got to have it. I said that I wouldn't have it again, but I have to. But he said, I do know this. He said, after this surgery, I'm going to be temporarily well or completely well. And he said, I'm not concerned. I'm not in distress. He said, and this is what the Lord is my shepherd. And he said, the gospel that we believe is the rock. That's the foundation. That's our peace and our joy. That was the direction we talked. I want us to read that 23rd Psalm. Psalm 23. And this man of whom I speak, I've known him, I've known Brother Payne for almost 30 years. He's been a dear brother and a faithful help, elder and preacher in this church for a long, long time. And I can confidently say this morning that he not only knew the psalm, he knew the shepherd. There's a difference. A lot of people know this psalm. I hear people say my favorite scripture is the 23rd Psalm, but one thing to know the psalm, it's another thing to know the shepherd. And when you know the shepherd, the psalm has richer comfort. David said, the Lord is my shepherd. The Lord Jesus Christ is my shepherd. Therefore, not because I deserve it, not because I'm worthy, not because I've done anything, but because he's my shepherd, I shall not want. That's the only reason. I do not want for righteousness. My righteousness is in him. I do not want for forgiveness. My forgiveness is in him. I do not want for daily provision. He is my provider. He's my shepherd. The shepherd loves the sheep. He said he did. He'll take care of the sheep. He'll provide for the sheep. He'll meet every need because he's my shepherd. And that's the only reason. Because he's my shepherd. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. You know what that is? That's this word right here. That's a friend of mine, Brother Charlie Jackson, pastor out in Texas, lost his 34-year-old son 2 or 3 weeks ago. His son died. And having been through this particular trial, I wrote to Charlie and I told him that there's nothing I could say that would help him in this awful, awful time. And nothing anyone else could say. Human words, while we appreciate them, yet they do not comfort. Because they come from a fallible source. I can't back up my words. I can say, be comforted, but I can't comfort you. I can say, be strong, but I can't give you strength. I can say, smile, but I can't give you any reason to smile. But I said, Charlie, there are two sources of comfort in this time. One is everything God does, he does on purpose. He does for your good. He does for his glory. And he does it because he will to do it. Now, I know that. Charlie's death is no accident. God willed it. And secondly, your second source of comfort is the Word of God. Lie down in the Word. He makes me to lie down in these green pastures. The children's bread is, Our Lord said to Peter, you love me, feed my sheep. What am I going to feed them? The Word of God. The Word of God. That's the Word comforts me. The Word encourages me. The Word convicts me. The Word of God gives me peace. Faith comes by hearing the Word of God. Comfort one another with these words. He makes me to lie down in green pastures. That's the Word of God. Pastures of tender grass. And then he leadeth me beside the still waters. You don't want to take the sheep down there where the waters are rushing and raging and falling over the rocks and scare the sheep to death. Take them down to drink that living water by the calm waters. The battle's over. My Lord won the battle. He conquered the enemy. He calmed the waters. He said, my peace I give unto you. He leads me by still waters, quiet waters. In the green pastures of the Word, by the quiet waters of His peace and fellowship, I have peace with God, peace in my soul, and peace with others. Because He made that peace through the blood of His cross. And He restored my soul. My soul was lost. Lost in Adam. Lost with the fall. Separated from God. My sins and transgressions separated me from God. I was lost. There was a price on my soul. Justice and the law had a claim on me. And my Lord came down and paid that price and ransomed my soul and restored it back to the favor of God. I'm in the favor of God. Thou hast found favor with God. The angel said, Mary, blessed are you among women. You're highly favored of God. Christ reconciled us to God. Somebody said last week, God doesn't need any reconciliation. Oh, I beg your pardon. God's angry with the wicked. God must be reconciled. He reconciled us to Himself through the death of His Son. God was in Christ reconciling us to Himself. And I tell you this, he that hath not the Son of God, the wrath of God abideth on him. He restored my soul. Satisfied the law, paid the debt of sin, put away my transgression, and restored my soul into the favor of God, reconciling us to God. And He leadeth me in paths of holiness. I hear these. Oh, bless their hearts. I feel sorry for the religious blind people of this day. They talk about holiness. Holiness, holiness, our holiness, holiness. My friends, there's no holiness in you and me. There's no holiness. Oh, compared to other people, you're the finest folks on earth. Fine mothers and daddies and brothers and sisters and children. I appreciate you. Thank God for you. But I'll tell you, in the flesh dwelleth no holy thing. In the flesh, no man can please God. When we stand in the light of God's perfect, immaculate, eternal holiness, we have to blush. Man at his best state is vanity. The finest person in this building, in the light of God Almighty's holiness and righteousness, would have to blush with shame over just the thoughts you thought this morning, over just the attitude that you woke up with this morning, just the spirit you have toward other people and toward other things, the spirit and attitude you have toward the providence of God Almighty. We're grumblers and gripers and fault finders and murmurers, and if God gave us what we deserve, He'd send us to hell and rid His earth of our contamination, right? And you know it and I know it. But He who restored my soul by His obedience and death, He leadeth me. He had to bring me there. I couldn't even find it. I didn't even know where righteousness was. We don't even know what holiness is. And He led me in paths of holiness for His name's sake. He did it, John, for His name's sake. He did it for His glory. And He did it. The Lord Jesus Christ had given every believer a perfect standing before God, a perfect holiness in the eyes and in the presence of His Father. He presents us in Himself through His obedience and righteousness and blood. He presents us before God this morning holy, unblameable, and unreprovable in God's sight. Don't ask other people what they think of you. They really don't even know you. What they know they like, but what they don't know, oh, they wouldn't like that, would they, sister? We let them know what we want them to know. But God, all things are naked and open before Him with whom we have to do. And yet my Lord Jesus Christ, by His birth and life and death and resurrection, had given to this old sinner whom He represented before God a perfect holiness. Even God can find no fault with me. Whew. Because He's my shepherd. You see that? He's my shepherd. And yea, verse 4, though I walk through this valley of the shadow of death. That's not just when we come to die. We're walking through the valley of the shadow of death right now. This death all about us. Death is in us. The moment we were born and our hearts began to beat, it was one beat closer to the grave. Someone says the beating of the heart is nothing in the world but the drums rolling and beating toward the grave. One less every time it beats. One less. It's appointed unto me and wants to die. I'm walking through a valley of the shadow of death. But let me tell you something. This valley of death contains nothing for the child of God but shadows. There are no enemies. Christ has put them all away. Now, the shadow of a dog will scare you, but it won't bite you. The shadow of a gun will scare you, but it won't kill you. The shadow of a knife will scare you, but it won't cut you. That's right. And all these around us, these fears and trials and all these things are but shadows. The Lord Jesus has taken the sting out of death. He's taken the power out of the hand of Satan, out of the power of Him who controls it by God's permission. And all these are shadows. Are shadows. That's all they are. These trials and sufferings and things. I fear cancer. I fear heart trouble. I fear all. No, they're but shadows. All they can do is take me into the presence of God. They can't hurt me. They can't harm me. They can't damn me. They can't condemn me. All these things. Somebody said pneumonia is the old man's friend. Well, so's every other enemy. Because God's conquered them and it'll do nothing but take you into His presence. Just usher you into glory. Like Bill Border's son, Gary, said the other day, my daddy's about to graduate. Going to a higher place. Call that. I walk through the valley of the shadow of death. I fear no evil. For He's with me. Thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff. Thy rod to chasten me. Thy rod to correct me. Get back in line, He says to the sheep. Reaches out with that hook on that staff, you know, and pulls him back in. Thy rod and thy staff. Even His rod comforts me and His staff comforts me. And He prepares a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Who are our enemies? Well, we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers and spiritual wickedness and high places and rulers of the darkness. You don't even see them because He takes care of them. And right in the presence of all these enemies of God and enemies of the covenant of grace and enemies of Christ and enemies of the glory and kingdom of God, He just sets His people down and says, let's feast. Those enemies, don't worry about them. I've already taken care of them. Right in the presence of our enemies, He prepares the table and He anoints my head with oil and my cup just runs over. My cup runs over. Surely, surely because He's my shepherd, surely because He's restored my soul, surely because He's given me a righteousness and satisfaction honored the law surely. Goodness, his goodness, and his mercy. And that's what I want, is his mercy. Shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. I sat down and wrote the tribute to Charlie Payne last night. I got word last night that he couldn't survive this, and the Lord took him home at 10 o'clock this morning. But I want you to listen to what I wrote here. Charlie Payne does not live here anymore. His father called him, and he's gone home. And Charlie will not worship the Lord with us here again. He's with the glorified church this morning. He's in the company of angels. He's rejoicing around the throne of the Lamb. Can you get hold of that? And besides, he wouldn't be content to be here anymore. Imagine listening to us sing, Mike, after hearing the heavenly choir. Imagine trying to listen to me try to preach after he's heard the master speak. Wouldn't that wouldn't be. He wouldn't want that. Imagine coming down here like we are today, trying to look at Christ through a glass dimly when he's already seen him face to face. He wouldn't be content here. Charlie will not preach again here in person. He won't preach at Cottageville. He won't preach at Fairmont or Albany or Mexico. We love to preach at Mexico. But he'll preach again. For he, being dead, yet speaketh, and is spoken of. Y'all been talking about him all morning. He'll preach. Somebody said, you going to preach so-and-so's funeral? No, it's already been preached. I'm just going to give a tribute, but he's already preached it. For like Abel of old, by faith in Christ Jesus, Charlie trusted that excellent sacrifice. He didn't bring his works. He came by the blood. He trusted that excellent sacrifice by which he obtained the righteousness of God. God testifying of his gifts of love, faith, joy, meekness, gentleness, and kindness. And by his testimony, he, being dead, yet speaketh, and is spoken of by all who knew him and all who heard him. Charlie will not be sending birthday cards to you anymore. He'll not be mailing the Sunday tapes and bulletins to the missionaries every Monday. Did you know he did that? For years and years and years. He'll not be taking his friends out to eat. He loved to do that. He'll not be coming by the parsonage every week to encourage his pastor and to tell him that he'd pray for him while he preached. And he'll not be designating his special gifts for the missionaries anymore. And the needy. He helped so many people. But by his example of grace and generosity, the Lord is going to carry on that ministry of love through us. Charlie won't send a card, but you will. Because he set a good example. Huh? And Charlie will never be sick again. He'll never hurt anymore. He'll never weep anymore. He'll never die. This mortal has put on immortality. The weak is now strong. He's now glorified. The corruptible has put on incorruption because of the mercy and grace of the Lord Jesus Christ. And he's with God. And God said, I will be their God, and I will wipe away all tears from their eyes. And there shall be no more death, neither sorrow nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain. For all these things are passed away. And God said, I make all things new. Now I'm going to do something very unusual, but I feel led of God's Spirit to do it. Several days ago, I asked Brother Charlie one Wednesday night if he would come up here and say a few words. I felt definitely impressed of God to do that, and I asked him to read a scripture because I felt, really, this was going to happen. He's been a very sick man a long time. And he came up here and told us goodbye, didn't he? You remember, you that were here on that Wednesday night? He told us goodbye. And we have it on tape. And last night over here, Ronnie and Bob and I played it. His goodbye. It's just short, but I want you to hear it. Would you mind listening to it again? Ronnie said, I heard things I didn't hear that Wednesday night. So Ronnie, you come up here, would you, and bring that tape. And I want you to listen to a man who I think he knew. I think Charlie knew that that was the last time he'd speak to us. I believe he knew that. And it was. And I want you to set it right up here. And I want you to listen to this. I want to get it just right so you can hear it.
Well, we're deeply grateful tonight to have Brother Charlie Payne back home again after an absence of almost 3 weeks,
clear.
Trip to Mexico and all points south. And I've asked him to come and give us a word of greeting and read the scriptures for us and lead us in prayer. Brother Charlie.
I'm going to read from 1 John chapter 4 if you want to. But I'll make a few comments before we read this scripture. And first of all, I want to thank all of you for your calls and cards expressing your concern and love for me. The love is mutual. I don't know of a place on earth where there isn't any place. This is where I want to be, right here. And when I'm away, I think about you all. And being in Mexico, visiting with Walter and Betty, and they're doing well. Things are going well. I visited one of the schools that Walter has with the pastors down there, and Walter graciously invited me to speak for an hour or so for the group there, and I enjoyed that thoroughly, and was pleased that when Walter was interpreting, an amen, I could make that out, and head shaking, and Walter's taught those men well, and if the time ever comes, which it might, that Walter has to leave there, that work will go right on. Those pastors that are there now, they're grounded in the truth, and we thank God for that, and thank God for Walter giving his life to that work down there, and they're looking forward to our pastor coming down next week, I think it is, and then going on over to Chiapas with Milton and Claudia, where we were down there last year, and the work there has progressed and come along real well. But I'm glad to be home. This is the one place in the world that I would leave, you know, would rather be than to be and with the missionaries in Mexico. I like to go down there, but I'm ready to come home when the time comes, and I just, well, I know you love me, that's been evidenced not only the last few days, but ever since I come to this church, it seems like that the people here just took me under their arm and guided me, and in my ignorance, and I know now your patience, because I know a little bit more than now than I did when I first come here. And I can see back over the years how you overlooked my faults and my ignorances and led me and taught me, and especially my dear pastor, Henry Mahan, man dear to my heart, dear to your heart, and he's dear to many hearts around this world. We thank God for him. But it's good to be home, and it's good to know one of these days I'm going home. And as well as I love you, the sooner the better. To be with Christ, I don't know of anything in this world that and I, for one, I know you love me and you agree with me, but don't weep for me. I'll be with him. I'll be weeping for you. If I'm conscious my last breath, I'll be weeping for you. You got to stay here in Egypt. I'm going to Canaan's land. Well, that may be 20 years from now, but I'm looking forward to it. I want you to know that. I'm not, I don't know how to say it. I hate to leave you, but I want to see him and be with him.